Hello, West Liberty. This is Dom, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Now, on today's show, you know, I have interview number 4. This is my last one. And I actually have a special guest, someone who my grandpa and uncle are big fans of. I have Ike Taylor on the phone with me today. He is a native of Louisiana. He is a 2-time Super Bowl champion, and he played his entire 12-year career as a cornerback with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Ike, how are you doing today?
Dom, how you doing, bro? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. It's crazy that I even am talking to you right now, so it's a thank you for coming on the show.
No problem.
Now, how are you doing today, man?
Good, man. I just got done working out, you know, getting ready to go see me and my son for Thanksgiving, so just prepping up.
Okay. Now, I just want to go right into the interview. You know, I think I have some good questions to ask you, and I can't wait to see your responses. Now, in Big Ben's first year in 2004, you guys went 15-1, and I was wondering, did you have confidence in the team winning after Ben was asked to fill the starter role because Tommy Maddox ended up getting injured?
Yeah, you saw how special Big Ben was in training camp and, you know, during the preseason and in practice. So him coming in wasn't an issue. It was just a matter of when he was coming in. And he came in at the time because, like you said, Tommy Maddox injury, and I guess the time was the perfect time. So Big Ben, coming from a teammate standpoint, we already knew we had something special in him because we saw that week in and week out in practice.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you've played in 2 Super Bowls, and there was one against Seattle and one against Arizona, and I was wondering, which of the two would you say was the most gratifying to win, and why?
Oh, man, both of them got 2 different stories, Dom. The first story was my first year, 2005, that was my first year starting. Mm-hmm. And Detroit, being a young buck, kind of living the dream. We had to go through the top 4 offenses in the NFL to get to what we got, which was the Super Bowl between the Denver Broncos, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Indiana Colts, and the Seattle Seahawks. They were the top 4 offenses at the time in the NFL. So, you know, our back was against the wall, and we beat our lives at that point. The 2008 Super Bowl, that which was 4 years later, you know, technically. 3 years, if you're looking at life, 4 years later in the football realm, and that was, you know, a seasoned Ike Taylor, a veteran defense. Everybody's in their prime. Us going on the field knowing exactly what you was going to do, how you was going to attack our defense. So it was 2 different personalities on 2 different Super Bowls. Everything was much more relaxed in 2008, 2009. It was kind of buttoned up, business attire. Like 2005 was much more of a savage mode. Mm-hmm. So that's the 2 differences between the 2 Super Bowls. They both got the 2 different personalities.
Okay. Now, you know, when the Steelers initially drafted you, would you say you were happy about the pick, or were you kind of hoping that you were actually going to be drafted to another team?
Man, I didn't think I was even going to get drafted. So, man, God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
So I wound up getting drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. It just so happened to be one of the best organizations in the world, mm-hmm, that a professional guy can play for. So, you know, between the Rooney family, between Coach Kyle, between Coach Tomlin, between Kevin Colbert at the front office, between Dick LeBeau, between all the Hall of Fame coaches who coached me and all the coaches who have coached me, I couldn't go to a better organization. And I'm not saying this because I was there for 12 years. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this off of other guys coming from other football teams and organizations, and they felt the same way I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, along with that, did you always feel you were kind of made for the NFL, or was it kind of just one of those things that you weren't quite sure what was going to happen after college?
Nah, I knew I had it. I knew I had the juice. When you know you got it, you got it. And yeah. I knew I had it. Because when you got it, other people talk about you. Mm-hmm. When you don't got it, you talk about yourself. So I had confidence in myself. I knew exactly what I could do. I just never talked about me. Mm-hmm. I always let others talk about me. So for me, I knew I had the juice. I just had to make sure I had my head straight and go on that road and that path, which was narrow, that I needed to go on.
I mean, that was a kind of great quality that you had. Like you said, you didn't really talk about yourself, and you just let others talk for you, which kind of is pretty much unselfish, you know? So it's good to have other people talk to you in a good way instead of yourself. You know, you didn't really get ahead of yourself, and, you know, maybe that kind of helped make you the player that you were, because, I mean, let's be honest, it was insane the stuff you did back then, so... Who knows what would have happened if the Steelers didn't draft you? You know what I mean?
Right. I'm so glad they did.
Hello, West Liberty. Welcome back. If you were just tuning in, I am having an interview with the one, the only Ike Taylor. He is, you know, he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 12 years as a cornerback. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion, and you know he had that chance to get that third one, and we only wish he did. So now, Ike, I just want to get right back into it, you know, because I actually am pretty excited to see what you say about this next question that I have for you. So what I've been wanting to know is there a team that you always looked forward to playing every single year?
I just understood, you know. That was part of the business. I was looking forward to building my resume, on regardless of who I played. But for me, it really wasn't no team. Like, you had to go out and perform and show and do what you did consistently. So whether you was playing the Cleveland Browns or whether you was playing the divisional rival, the Baltimore Ravens, you had to go out and show out regardless.
So, yeah.
That's in my mind. That's how I was able to play for 12 years. I didn't take no team. I didn't take no receiver. I didn't take anybody for granted.
Yeah, so I mean, like, pretty much what you're saying is you played every single game like it was a rivalry. Like you,
correct.
Yeah. That I mean.
Not even a rivalry. I just played every game like, you know, building my resume. In football. The only way you could build a resume is to perform consistent week in and week out. So that's all I wanted to do was perform on a consistent basis, and me able to do that, you know, making plays when I needed to make plays, you know, I was able to build my resume.
I mean, yeah, the hard work definitely showed on the field, I'll tell you that much. Now, this next question, you know, kind of want to know what this one, the answer to this one is as well. Now, as a cornerback of 12 years in the NFL, obviously you played against a lot of quarterbacks, and I was just wondering, who would you say was, like, the best that you played against?
Tom Brady. Tom Brady, just a little bit different. You know, Tom Brady just, man, to this day, in my mind, you know, I still think him going 6th round still fuels his fight. You know, Tom Brady, what is this, year 20 for him? So, you know, he's not like a Peyton Manning. He's not like an Eli Manning. He's not like a late-round draft pick at Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's not like a Carson Palmer. He didn't have the luxury of having a lot of chances because they went 1st round. You know?
Yeah.
You get one shot and you mess this shot up. You know, this could be your last. And he's held on 6 Super Bowls later, 20 years later. You know, we calling him the GOAT. So Tom Brady for me, that's one of the hardest guys.
That is like the one thing I never really thought about, you know? He was winning Super Bowls, I mean, how many years ago, and he's kind of still playing that same caliber of football today, and it's kind of hard to believe how well he's still playing at the age he is. It's that pretty incredible, actually. You know what? What's funny was my grandpa called that you were gonna say Brady, because I was like, well, you never know, maybe he'll say something else. And then he was like, oh no, he's gonna say Brady. And I was like, hey, I won't complain either way.
Right? Yeah, Tom Brady's the GOAT. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's that guy.
Yeah,
but so, I just think that all your late round draft picks, like your Antonio Browns, your Tom Brady's, your Shannon Sharps, your Jerry Rice's, all them guys are highly motivated, your Ike Taylors.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys are highly motivated because, you know, we always in our life back against the wall. You know what I'm saying? We nothing has never been given to us.
Mm-hmm.
We always had to fight. So, and that's the NFL, man. You got to fight every day in practice to keep your job. You got to perform every Sunday to keep your job, and you got to do that consistent. And you know, as you get older, you know, things get harder.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to bob and weave and figure things out. So that's why I tip my hat to the late round guys.
Yeah. So what, you know, you say Tom Brady's the GOAT, and you know, I'm not denying that whatsoever. But what would you say exactly makes a GOAT, so to speak? That's what I'm kind of wanting to know.
Your GOAT status is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been consistent for how many years?
Yeah.
You know, he's been playing at a high level for how many years? And if you look at, you know, these other quarterbacks who have been spoiled with receivers, Tom ain't have receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tom really wasn't spoiled with receivers. And the one time he did get a first-round receiver in Randy Moss, you saw what he did. Them boys put up historical touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, other than that, for me, in my mind, Tom has made a lot of receivers. He's made a Julian Edelman. He's made a Wes Walker. You know, he's made a Dan Iguodala. He's made a lot of receivers. At least put him on the map, so say. So, for me, that's how I look at Tom. Like, Tom had less to work with, but gained a lot and got a lot out of all of his teammates. And they'll all tell you about Tom, man. His work ethic is unbelievable. So, you know, it wasn't you got 2 years to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your first-round draft picks, and you know this, Dom, because you watch football.
Yeah.
They get a couple of years to go through their growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
Because the franchise don't want to look bad. The coaching staff don't want to look bad. Don't nobody want to say I messed up on this draft pick. That's just how it is. Tom ain't get that luxury.
Yeah, it's like
Tom never got that luxury.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been noticing there are somewhat like a few rookies that are actually getting good shots this year. And I mean, they're showing out, so you really can't complain about that. But I don't know, man. Now, my next question for you is, you know, you played for Coach Cower and Coach Tomlin. How different of a coaching style did, like, the two have, or were they pretty much similar?
Both of my players, coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Coach Tomlin is probably the ultimate player's coach. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Coach Cower was old school.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Cower didn't care what you wore on the plane, as long as we was winning, we was good. You know?
Yeah.
But other than that, though, Coach Tomlin was more of a teacher, a teacher's coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He'll give you the game plan and explain to you why he think we should do this. You know, he was more hands-on when it came down to the knowledge or giving you knowledge on what the game plan was. Coach Kyle let his coaches pretty much coach and do all that.
Okay, well, you know, I'm going to wrap up this interview, but I do have one more question for you. And I was wondering, you know, after 12 years of playing in the NFL, obviously you have learned a lot about the game. So would you maybe consider coaching ever?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I coach my son's team, so.
Oh, you do?
Coach. Yeah, I love coaching. Like, that's just a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I like doing. I think I soaked up enough knowledge from all my Hall of Fame coaches, from Dick LeBeau to Mike Munchak to Russ Grimm to Coach T to Coach Cowher, Hall of Fame owner, and Dan Rooney and their family. Man, I just been surrounded by nothing but Hall of Famers. So I figured, you know, I picked up a lot from those people.
Yeah, I mean, Do you really think you're pulling your inner coach out as you're coaching your son?
I think I'm very knowledgeable when it comes down to football. You know, my first year as a head coach, we won a state championship.
Jeez.
My second year, we won another state championship. My third year, we lost in the state championship in second place. So, I think one, I'm a cool ass coach, and I think I'm a very knowledgeable coach as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, I'm going to wrap this interview up. I just wanted to thank you again for, you know, coming on the show, allowing me to interview. I really appreciate it. It's kind of crazy to, you know, talk to Ike Taylor, you know? So I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, man. I appreciate you. No problem, bro.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll see you, man.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.